Good morning and welcome back to the Explicit Measures Podcast with Tommy, Seth, and Mike. I think this we should start off with a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And a Happy Tuesday.
There we go.
There it is.
There we go. We're 279 in, still strong with the Happy Tuesdays.
Happy holidays. I'm excited that you're excited that we're on this really long streak, even though it's just, you know, Seth saying Happy Tuesday.
Well, I don't know what episode did it, what Tuesday did it start? Because I don't think this was there from the very beginning.
You'd have to go back and look.
It wasn't one, because I know it was one we were figuring episode. By
one
the way,
was rough. If you go back and look at the first 10, 20 episodes,
please,
we had some issues.
You've pained yourself and you've done that.
Man, I've done it just to see how far we've come. Sometimes
he likes to do it just to laugh at me,
just to hurt myself. So.
It's a good example of just get started with something. And, you know, look,
I had someone actually say the exact
79 episodes later.
Yeah. I had someone actually say the exact same thing to me. They're like, it was a compliment, but it could have been like a backhanded compliment too. They were like, you know, I'm just telling my other employees, they're like, you know, they wanted to get started doing the data thing. They're like, they were just telling them, get started, get going. Just start doing it. He's like, you know, in your early podcast, it was a little bit rough, but they got better over time and they got more like cleaned up and they're better intros, better outros. You're figuring out. I'm like, yeah, but that's just how it goes. You don't know what you don't know in the beginning, what works for you, what your pattern is. So just get started.
Even the technology too. You listen to the first technology. It feels like we're all using like headphone microphones. At least I was. We're doing great.
It's been a good couple of years doing this, and so it's been a lot of fun. So let's do a couple just introductions here, and then we'll jump into our main topic. Today, our main topic is going to be all around giving some gifts to each other. So we're going to think about the Power BI ecosystem and then hand out some gifts to each other, and we'll present the gifts, we will rank the gifts, and then the winner with the most points gets a free dinner from Tommy.
We're doing the ranking internally, because you can't tell someone how you really feel in the moment.
We say the ranking live, because this is like, ooh. Yeah, we, this is,
ooh, right away.
No, that doesn't work, because then if you give me a four,
okay, so we have to keep
I'm gonna naturally give you a three. Yeah. Right. So
let's, at the end of the episode, let's give all the ranks out, and so we can figure out how it works. All right.
Yeah, because then at the end, we'll know we're gonna rank basically each other on the gift that's given to me and the gift given to the other person.
I guess I better bring up my notebook here so I'd actually take notes on things.
At the very end, the winner, who we're going to tally up all the points, the winner's going to get a free steak or whatever dinner of their choosing by the two losers.
We're going to have to go faster then, because we've got time at the end where we've got to discuss the rankings, right?
That's true.
True. This is a packed episode of invigorating ranking of Christmas gifts. So just in case you were wondering how thought engaging this episode will be. Although anyone who's listening, thank you very much for jumping in on your Christmas break. This is the 26th of December, so right after Christmas Day. So thank you for jumping in. I hope everyone's joining live. We'll see anyone who's live here. Hello and welcome, because this is a pre-recorded episode. So jumping right in, what were some of your Christmas traditions, some good memories that you've had of Christmases in the past? Tommy, give me some good ones here.
There's really just the major one. The big one, if you come from a Italian background, Southern Italian background, it starts and ends with the Feast of the Seven Fishes. And if you've heard this before, we've done this maybe like 200 episodes ago, long time ago. But just to give kind of what we'll be doing this year, my wife and I will start the menu today in the car. We're going to be talking about what our menu is going to be. But you must have seven shellfish. You can't eat meat on Christmas Eve. The Christmas Eve is our pinnacle. And we're going to have fried shrimp, fried calamari, all homemade, an octopus salad.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You can't eat meat. On Christmas Eve. Okay, so this is Christmas Day. You're doing the eating.
Oh no, Christmas Day we have the hangover day because we're so tired from making the fish. So we had
Okay,
fish. You're not eating the fish on Christmas Eve, are you?
Christmas Eve we eat it.
But a shrimp's a meat, right?
Not Catholic traditions, though. So
just a fish.
Like a Lent, it's
different. No, like red meat. from the sea is okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I agree with this. I love things from the sea. So I've been happy to eat things from the sea.
So yeah. So we octopus, shrimp, calamar. What else do we normally do? Oh, scallops, which are super expensive right now. I've been already
like, everything's super expensive right now. It's crazy.
I want to do an eagle, but I need two steaks. I mean, you have to kill it live. I can do carp.
I've seen that.
Yeah. And then I can do carp, but then I need a bathtub to throw it in because that's an old tradition, which I'm not going to do. And I think Seth's family can do a little better job with that. The in-laws.
My wife. Yeah. My in-laws. Absolutely. Because that's a Czech tradition.
Yeah. Oh. And also, so we got a lot of things going, and then we always do the lasagna Christmas Day. And this
We're talking.
Now, a fun story, really quick story. This Christmas in particular, we always make lasagnas for people who they just had a baby. We'll give them a lasagna. We had like three families we knew, and we knew we were Christmas Day up. I broke a record. I broke my mother's record. In one day, I made 7 lasagnas a few weeks ago. So we are golden. So this is the pinnacle for me.
That's like an all-day effort, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Started. That's like an all-day activity at 7. That's a lot. Well,
we had to make the meatballs the day before and the sauce the day before and then the meat. Anyways, I digress.
Tommy's you got to have different friends. You need new friends.
I know.
Too many babies going on.
Christmas Eve is the best day. We're awesome. So excited for the fish, but that's everything for us. So
awesome.
Sweet.
Any kind of big traditions, Seth, that you guys do at your family?
Yeah. I mean, we celebrate the 24th, but it's similar in this from the standpoint that we do a lot of cooking during the day because it's all hors d'oeuvres, mostly from the sea, a lot of smoked salmon, right? Fruit, veggies, like cheese and meats, like. And then there are a few like warm dishes on it, but like way more food than we would ever be able to eat. But it's more about just making it, having fun, do a lot of shrimp, you know, fun stuff, the fun seafoody stuff.
Smoked salmon is a great idea.
Oh, that's my wife's favorite. I always pick up a little caviar. I'm a caviar guy.
Do you have a smoker that you smoke it on?
I don't smoke it, but I do have a smoker that I could smoke it on. Well, that's an interesting idea, Mike.
We'll be driving over.
I thought you had a smoker.
I do, but I've never smoked my own salmon. Like, actually, my friend, I think, did it, and his smoker smelled like salmon for a long time.
So maybe not. Maybe not do that then.
So that's the normal one, and then we just kind of slow roll and do gifts, and it's a fun night with the fam. We have new things going on this year, though. So with the advent of getting into the new house, we live on a cul-de-sac now, and my wife has made some pretty good friends up the road and around the cul-de-sac. So for the first time, she's doing a cookie exchange, extremely thrilled about because she's from the Czech Republic, and they have all of these like long traditions of different types of cookies that aren't nearly as sweet. Her gingerbread's amazing, and she does like the very intricate icing on it and all that. So she's super thrilled about that. And then the other new thing that we're doing this year that is perfect is getting together with our friends / they're like our family. Mm-hmm. And they do like meat heaven Christmas. Like he smokes like everything. So they're going to have tons of leftovers of meat. We're going to have tons of leftovers of all the hors d'oeuvres, and we're just going to smash the families together on Christmas.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Hang out in Christmas pajamas and finish all the leftovers so that we don't have like, you know, the long trough of like, oh man, we didn't eat all that, we got to throw it away.
Yeah, I don't, that's the worst. I hate throwing out food.
I feel like their tagline should be, we guarantee you'll get meat sweats.
he would absolutely, like, if I bought him a shirt like that, he would
wear it
all the time.
Oh my gosh, that's
what
funny.
About you, Mike?
So a couple traditions that we do. The kids have been baking Christmas cookies, and they go around the neighborhood and they kind of make a little like Tupperware of Christmas cookies. We kind of go around to houses and just kind of hand out, here's some Christmas cookies. I think this year it's like an Oreo ball. I guess that you take the Oreo cookies and you blend them up and you like make a little ball of them. And then you take that and you dip it in like white or dark chocolate. And then you put like candy cane crunches on top of it. So these little like candy ball things that you would hand out. So that's going to be part of the cookie handout for the neighborhood. We'll be doing that. We do an hors d'oeuvres thing, kind of similar to what you do, Seth. Our family is all in the area, so we kind of just roll between different houses. So we will be doing a hors d'oeuvres on Christmas Eve, just kind of laying low, taking it easy, doing my family's Christmas that day. And then we do our Christmas in the morning, and then we do my wife's Christmas with her family on Christmas Day, like the day portion. So we just kind of rotate our way through.
Sweet.
So nothing too crazy there. One thing I will say, especially since we're talking about all this yummy food that we're making and indulging in over Christmas, another big favorite of mine is Pizzelles. That was one we don't get them often, but like Christmas time, they always showed up.
Yeah. Refresh my memory.
So it's not the best cookie in the entire world, but it tastes like Christmas to any Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Really. Got it. It looks like a waffle, but it's basically kind of the same ingredients.
Very thin.
Very thin, very crunchy.
Okay, I think I know.
Powdered sugar. Yeah.
Is it? Like, yeah. Does it like curved?
Like, no, it's like ribs flat. On it, the yeah, top yeah, of it.
On okay. it, but it's completely mm. flat.
So, and it's like it's okay. like a very, you know, it's kind of large. It's like, you know, the size of your maybe your the palm of your hand kind of size.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's like it kind of spreads out real thin. And they have the little Pizzelle makers. That's like a little toaster. Like,
yeah.
You know,
again, like mini waffle. Yeah.
Yep. You get like vanilla of them. You can get like chocolate flavored ones.
But you don't do that because you only just do the plain ones because that's.
I mean, that's usually what I eat.
No, you do. I've never heard of that.
I've seen them. I've seen them. I think I've seen them in stores with different. Pizzelle.
So it's my dad's favorite cookie. And my dad, like, obviously he talks to me, but he's not a talker to people he doesn't know. If you gave him Pizzelle, he'd all of a sudden open up.
It's instant friend.
Instant friend.
It's like giving a treat to a dog kind of thing.
Oh
like,
my God. That's funny.
Yeah. Pizzelle's Mike. Pizzelle's Christmas.
That's what I've been. It's also, I mean, you buy them from the store sometimes, but my aunts used to make them, and that was like we'd buy them now, but you know, I don't have the machine to make the Pizzelles these days. But my aunts would make them, and that would be good. They would come out, and those were really good.
Mike, I'm actually after this podcast, I'm gonna go to the store because I have to scout some fish. There's a few places I have to look. And one of the places is our friendly grocery store, Angelo Caputo's, not making that up. And if they have a Pizzelle machine, it's got your name on it.
Woo.
So
I love it.
Well,
been to our main topic today.
Have so a our major Merry Christmas, gentlemen.
Man.
We'll have to jump into our main topic for today. So the main topic today is we're doing Christmas exchange. We're gonna go around the group here. We'll do one round and then we'll just keep going through. We've got a couple gifts to give each other, things that we know each other, I think, would like about RBI data things as well. And we'll jump into that.
Yeah. And just kind of scoping that out, Mike, these are things that don't exist, probably never going to exist, but we are trying to say, what would we most like in the Microsoft Fabric Power BI platform we could basically take and bake in our organization? Again, none of this stuff, I think, We're trying to think of things that are out of the world, wouldn't be wonderful to have. And again, we're
This is Santa.
This is Santa. Right.
Santa has a lot of coding elves. And he can write whatever the heck code he wants. So this is Santa writing features that we think would be really fun or just interesting that each other of us would like and enjoy, you know, using.
Do we go oldest to youngest? Youngest to oldest?
Well, that would start with Seth.
I mean, most hair to least hair.
Most hair to least hair. Let's do that. Go ahead, Tommy. Kick us off with the most hair.
All right. So, Mike, I'm going to start with you. There's been a lot of AI conversations. You know, obviously, AI has been the theme word for 2023, and I think that's a good place to start. But then you realize, well, Microsoft has Copilot. Microsoft's already having Copilot and all of these features. Well, we're going to take it a step further, and we're going to take the co out of Copilot. Michael, I introduced to you Pilot.
Ooh.
Pilot does it before you need it to do it, and does all the data things before you even ask it. It's not your Copilot. It's driving for you. It loads the data, and it's going to tell you what to do. Okay? So here's where it's available. First time you load data in a lakehouse.
Only in West US 2. Sorry, that was a very inside Azure-based joke right there.
That's really good. Yeah.
It's only it's only available in West US 2. Oh, only God. Tenants that can use this as one That's single fair. Tenant.
It's an F-124 license.
It requires an F-500 license. You need to pay $10 million a month just to use it.
That's good. That is good. Kudos on that. So okay. Here's a few places where it works. When you first load data into the lakehouse, Microsoft's going to basically scan the data, how the tables came into the lakehouse, give you suggestions on, I see what you're trying to do here. Do you want to load this into a pipeline? Do we need to make delta tables? Or are you trying to do a medallion approach? It can tell if it's raw or if it's already in a productionalized state.
All right.
Obviously, notebooks. It's going to ask you, hey, we're looking at the lakehouse you connected to. Here's probably what you're trying to do with this. Based on the structure of the data, it will know if it's data science or if it's data engineering. Also, a great place we have not seen Copilot or AI is in data flows. Soon as you load your first data in, it's going to give you prompts on what transformations you want to do and where do you want to push that data in based on the context of the workspace and the lakehouse that's in that workspace. It's also in the default semantic model and in pipelines. But again, this is a proactive AI. You're not asking it first. It's asking you.
All right. Interesting. I'm going to write down my score here. What we're doing, one out of seven?
One out of seven.
What does it do when you don't answer it?
Answer me. Well,
it drives.
Starts texting me. starts calling me.
So
give me an answer.
Give me an answer. I need
your house.
You're not answering the question, Michael. Yeah. Is that HAL 2000 or
Yeah. Yeah. I can't open the data doors, Michael.
I will not open that data flow, Michael. No,
you will not be able to open this data flow. It requires a staging data warehouse in the background, and you can't see it.
So, all right. So, Seth, my gift to you. This is going to bring some old. If you're an IT in Windows, there's a lot of oversight and fabric that you're going to need, and unfortunately, it's kind of hard to see everything. So, I'm giving you God mode in Fabric. This is a very common hack you can do in Windows, and it's another hack now available in Fabric. It's the most direct and quickest way into Fabric artifacts. Everything available in Fabric. There's no clicking, because that's the hardest experience right now, is there's a lakehouse. Well, what's in that lakehouse? What's it connected to? There's a hover mode, which is going to be dynamic, allowing you to say, hey, look at this lakehouse, this data flow. What are the components? Just hover over it. Like a report page tooltip, you get all of the information about that artifact. Really cool with God mode is you have your own custom, I don't want to call it a workspace, but it's a saved views.
Oh, I thought you were going to say there's custom worshipers that come along with it or something.
Yeah, no.
I mean, well, go easy here.
Yeah. Well, so the God mode, that's actually a thing in Windows where it basically like allows you to hack everything in it. And it's just like,
Yeah. Because that's secure.
That's the Merry Christmas, everyone. That's the official, but you actually get saved views into workspace and artifacts where you can actually create custom smart folders just for your view based on the workspace, who created it, and even the domain. So if I want to say, hey, show me everything marketing or the security groups created, and I want to be able to quickly see those views, you get these views. So it's just really that oversight into everything going on, rather than being in the admin mode or living in a report.
Excellent. Good gifts, I think.
Solid start, Tommy.
Do you have thoughts on your gifts?
Do we have to give thoughts right now? Or do we give that to the end?
We'll go really fast if we don't.
Well, we have a lot of things.
We have a lot of things to talk about at the end when we're...
Okay.
So I'll say thank you, Tommy. I appreciate your gift. I
appreciate it.
I do like Pilot. I'll have to play with it a bit.
Yeah.
After I build my Lego set for a little bit there.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess the next most hair would be me. Mm-hmm. So I will jump in here and I'm going to rearrange. I wanted to give out the good gifts first, but maybe I'll save one of the good gifts a little bit later. So I would like to gift Tommy a graphical representation of any DAX. This is a feature we talked about on a recent episode. So when you're dragging data from the data pane and bringing it to a visual, There's columns, there's fields, and there's also auto-generated DAX behind the scenes that's showing up. It's doing, you do the performance analyzer, you can see what DAX it's creating. I think it would be nice if there was a way just to graphically show, here's the semantic model behind the scenes, here's the table that you produced or visual that you produced. Let's look at what the model's doing and then compare what field did you pick across the model, what relationships were being used, and what measures were being created. And then almost like, you know, I'm thinking more for like the business user side of things, right? This is to help the business user understand the design of such a model. So when they select something, take that DAX, read it. And if there's a summary table, make a temporary object on that little, you know, graphical view. It's like a little window that could pop up and show you, here's the tables that you built. Here's where the measures came from. Here's the dimensions. Here's the factual thing. Here's where the measure on the fact lives. And then would maybe even kind of slightly describe, you know, what that relationship means. So it's a simple feature, but I think very impactful for those, the users that are going to be consuming data sets or semantic models and trying to build those. So I think that would be, that's my initial kind of gift there.
Well, Mike, right after Pizzelle's, it's adoption in my heart. So
my new adoption is high. Right. So I think this would ease that adoption more for new users.
And I think that's a great gift.
All right. Then for Seth, I'm trying to figure out which one I should start with here. I'm going to start with the silly gift at first. This is kind of like, I'm going to say, okay, it may be a gag gift. I'm not really sure. I'm going to get.
Not doing well for your rankings.
I'm going to gift Seth the ability to use Fabric in the central U.S. region. That's what I'm going to do. It's going to be. Apparently, there's issues with central U.S. right now and Fabric. I've seen some things that have been like people have been creating central U.S. And I've tried a couple times and it you can create it. But I don't think the artifacts actually work yet. So there may be some bugs that are kind of getting worked out.
I have been told when that's coming. And
apparently
I'm excited about it.
Yes.
Excited about it.
I don't know why central U.S. has so much issues. It's a smaller data center or something, or maybe they need to expand a bit more. I don't really know what's going on, but it feels like there's a limitation at that center right now. But Fabric should be live and in all regions. So I will gift to you, Seth, where your data resides, an additional region for you for Fabric.
I like this gift.
I like that. Well, I think you'll find a lot of benefit by because of all existing... data engineering you've done.
Like it might be here closer sooner than some of these other games.
It's very true.
Well, Mike, my tenant's in the East, US 2. Yours is central.
Wait, your tenant, your Power BI tenant isn't East?
Because that's where I started my company.
But when Puglia BI Consulting started in New York or East US 2, that's somewhere, that's the middle of the East Coast. That's the middle, that's just somewhere in the middle there, yeah. Carolina or something like that. And you started when you were in Florida, right?
That's for whatever reason. My tenant is in the East.
Interesting.
Yeah, and you cannot move it.
You can. You just have to delete everything out of it and then move it and then put it back in. So
which I'm not doing.
Which we're not doing that.
Interesting. And that's the reasons of,
But to your point, Tommy, my Power BI tenant is in North Central US. That's where my tenant was created. And I don't really know how Microsoft creates tenants and where the regions exist. I do know it's something like it's some kind of proximity to the first time you log in. It tries to make an educated guess from like where your physical PC is and the closest region to you. Because it would make sense, right? I don't want to be spinning up a Power BI tenant in a different country if you're closer to it. Like that would be a bad idea. And then two, I wouldn't make sense if I'm on the East Coast and I'm spinning up tenants in the West Coast region. So something is there. And I've even seen people start Power BI after like they've had Azure and other, you know, Microsoft 365 things. Their corporate headquarters is in a different region than when the Power BI region starts for whatever reason. I don't really know the pattern, but I do check this a lot. This is actually this would be one of my major checkpoints. If you're going to begin Power BI and you have a quote unquote data center you're going to build out, you need to make sure that Power BI and your data artifacts are the same in the same region. So sometimes I've been doing a lot of moves of Power BI tenants recently just because of this issue.
And they mentioned that actually, this is for those who are thinking this gift is, why is that even a gift? regions matter. In the shortcuts, they talk about regions all the time, where the data is going to reside.
Yep.
Bro, data
that's one of the giant movement. Yeah.
Data movement.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could, and it's literally just to read the data, it costs you money if you're not in the same region. So it's just almost like, okay, you can either design it correctly and not cost you anything, or you can design it poorly and charge yourself a lot of money by moving things across region. So anyways, that would be my feature. I don't even remember what I gave the gift. I better mark which ones I've already given here so I don't accidentally give it twice. All right, cool. Seth, I believe it's on for you.
Who do I start with? I'm going to start with Tommy. Tommy, your first gift is outside the realm of the computer. And it's called AI Elfie. Elfie, like Elfie on the shelfie, right?
Okay, AI Elfie.
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 Can sit wherever you want, right?
But okay.
He is AI, but he talks everything BI. So you don't get lonely on every day that doesn't start with T. You miss us so much that this is your little friend that who can also, like Elfie on the shelfie, watch what you're doing, right?
Hey, so
he's a quick reference. He's there for long conversations, all around business intelligence, right? And he's somebody that you can float ideas against while you're working.
My gosh.
So it's the verbal talking to the BI Alfie.
That's really good. Now you just got to answer me honest here. Yeah. Did you just think of the name as you were saying it?
No, this is all pre like last I know, night the sitting down. Came, what do I want to give my buddies?
That's at the hours of time. He was writing ideas. Buddies. You should see his notes. It's like this huge whiteboard of all these ideas that he just scratched.
I will paste them in the chat right now if you want to see them.
Okay, maybe you never said it out loud because the way it came out was AI Elfie. AI Elfie. AI Elfie.
Alfie. It's A.
I was bringing you to what Alfie.
Oh,
right?
AI.
Okay. The name is Alfie.
Now, yeah,
so I love AI dash Elfie.
This is a great tool. Now, I hope it has a little because there are some AI prompting you could do to make them have jokes like comedians. So I hope there's a little personality, Mike, and Seth, where I talk
for
to
sure.
It. Yeah,
for sure.
And like, that if I ask it something,
okay,
like I say like, hey,
it's
Mike,
almost Elfie. It's almost as if when you ask AI engines to roast you.
Okay, I was
right.
Can I say it? Yes, is it okay if I say it?
You
okay.
Absolutely can.
All right.
It's almost as if you did this.
It's almost like I actually did this to myself. So you can get on Twitter. So Elon's version of AI is Gronk. That's his version. So there's like so many AIs. There's Copilot.
In it? Or is it just G-R-O-K?
Grok. Maybe it's just Grok. There's no Ock. I keep adding the N. I'm sorry. It's Grok.
Yeah. Gronk is a football player.
Sorry. This could have been made by a football player. I don't know. We'll see. So what you can do to it is you can say, roast my Twitter feed and it will go out and look at your posts that you make. And then it will then from those posts, it'll roast you. And so here's Grok was the here's our roast. Oh, boy, Power BI tips. Where do I even begin? Your posts are like a never ending stream of Power BI propaganda. It's like you're trying to convert the entire world to a bunch of data obsessed zombies. I thought that was really good. I mean, seriously, do you have anything else to talk about besides Power BI? It's like you've got a one-track mind and it's stuck on the I love Power BI setting. Newsflash. Not everyone is obsessed with this data visualization as you are. And don't even let me get you started on the advanced, quote-unquote, theme generator. It's like you're trying to make Power BI look pretty, but let's face it. It's just a bunch of glorified Excel spreadsheets. I was like, yeah, he's got a
zing.
No amount of fancy themes is going to change that. But hey, keep up the good work, Power BI tips. You're doing a great job of making the world more data-driven place, one boring post at a time. Bravo, you data-loving maniac. Bravo.
That's really hilarious. Good.
That was a pretty good roast.
Seth, Alfie can do that.
Alfie can roast you too.
Well, I need to know this because there's been a lot of advancements actually lately with voices in AI. Yeah. For example, you can actually generate a camera looking at you, and David Attenborough is going to be, who? What's the voice? Is it Mike? So if I ask
him
a question,
you can select the voice. You can have me. You can have Mike.
Yeah, it's just Seth or Mike. You get to pick one or the other or both.
Oh, there you go. Perfect. It's limited. Or you can talk to yourself. You can talk to yourself.
It's your own voice.
Tommy, that's what do you think about this? That's a great idea.
That's a great idea. We should do that. Okay, Tommy. Yeah.
More administration. Central BI all the way. Just reinforces what you already know.
I hope with the mic setting that if I go, Mike, what do you think about this? Well, I'm going to agree slightly, but disagree completely.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
I like it. I like it. Thank you, Seth.
All right. You're welcome. All right. So, Mike, keeping things going.
All right.
Your gift is called Jingle. So just like Santa's sleigh bells jingle, and like the reins that they're attached to, and the connecting all of the important reindeer together, this gift is lineage, but different. It's jingle. Obviously end-to-end tracking, but when you're loading data, you can
specify
which tables you want to begin.
Love it.
And what it will do is, as you're building your ETL into your models, into your reports, it's tracking it, the entire thing, so that not only does Jingle allow you to see visually the lineage, it will alert you when things in the pipeline fail, and you can set auto notifications for your engineering team and business to understand when there's problems within the ecosystem.
Does it work with Reflex, though?
Sure. Yeah, plug it into anything.
Sure. Absolutely. Yep.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah. It's a made up gift. I can make it do whatever I want.
Yeah. Your wish is my command. Yes.
I love it.
That's good.
Okay, so I have a clarifying question just to make sure I understand what's going on here.
Yeah.
If I add 4 new records on the first table in my jingle, will those 4 records trickle through the subsequent tables and only load the data that it needs in the downstream tables for me? So you're thinking?
Technically, if I'm thinking how I propagate data and push it forward. I'm connecting, applying business logic, et cetera, Jingle would know, right, what should be flowing through.
I love it.
So whether or not I have a data problem. Gift. Or a breakdown in a pipeline, which we kind of already have today, right? I get alerted when something fails. It's the things that I don't see that are problematic. Mm-hmm. The silent errors, Jingle picks that up, man.
Nice.
Man. Yeah.
Wow, that's a solid gift.
That is a solid gift.
You really know me. You really know me, Seth.
Yeah. Thanks.
That's going to score high on the board here.
It's going to do well.
It's going to do well.
All right, I think I'm going to start.
So we've done one round of gifts. Just doing a quick time check. We're about halfway through the time here, so maybe we do another round of gifts, a second round. I'm not sure if we can get through all three
because we did intros for 15 minutes.
All right, whip. All right, start ripping.
All right, start.
I like the question.
Start gifting.
Because you better know your gift if you're going to give it.
You better know your gift if you're giving it.
So Seth, this is for you, and I think we've talked a lot about Fabric, but some of the limitations right now are around, I have 100 other systems that can do very similar systems. I have Databricks, Synapse, Amazon Data Factory. Well, how do we actually get over that to where I don't want to migrate everything I've already done and have to recreate the wheel? That's a problem. So my gift is called the Quip tool. Quip stands for the Quick Import Platforms. Full digestion of the data platform systems. Easily import through Databricks, Synapse, Data Factory, other engineering platforms, workflows, notebooks into Fabric. You simply choose the workspace or the domain. It can even go up to the domain level of where you want to point those systems to. It makes a copy, replica that works with Fabric. So if I have data, if I'm using Databricks right now, and I have a lot of workflows that are already working, whether it be a pipeline or notebooks, I can just simply connect to my Databricks system and import that into Fabric. It's going to understand, there's a few configurations. Obviously, it's not one click, but what data
source. If it was a real gift, it would be just a one click.
Well, okay. I mean, we're going to be a little realistic here. Yeah, it does everything for you. That's your tool. That's your pilot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then you can buy pilot off of Mike. But you just do the configuration of, what data source is the initial source? It works from a medallion point of view of where does the workflow go? You kind of have to set the settings before you import it, because it understands each of the tools. But as quick import, we get a copy. So now we're working in Fabric. After the final import, we're working solely in Fabric.
Hmm. How is this different from mirroring?
Mirroring is taking the data. This is taking the actual workflows. So this is actually taking, like, if I had a notebook in Databricks, I'm copying the notebook right into Fabric now.
So you could run the notebook in Fabric without having to use a notebook in whatever other system.
I'm not copying the data. I'm copying the product.
So all of my 100 third-party systems get rolled into Databricks?
Get rolled into Fabric. Yeah.
So you're transforming all my third-party systems into...
I'm transforming it into Microsoft adaptable or compatible products.
Are there AI components to this?
Well, yeah, there's Pilot. Remember, Pilot's just been recently announced 20 minutes ago.
Right. I guess my question though is, if I'm going to plug into a third party system, there's a lot of garbage in there.
Sure.
Importing all the garbage.
Well, there's full import or selective import. So with full import, it just simply takes everything in Databricks, going to do a whole copy. Mm. If I connect to a certain system in Databricks, I can do a check mark, same way I'm choosing a table of the systems or the different workflows that I have.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you, Tommy. Appreciate it. Yeah,
no worries. So Mike, you know, I'm a little upset with Microsoft because we've gotten this stream of Power BI, Power Apps, Power Automate, and I think there's something missing with Fabric. And really it goes into how do we utilize all three with Microsoft Fabric? So to you, I give you automation across the system, Microsoft Power Fabric.
Mm, we did with Fabric. We did lose a word.
We did lose a word.
We should have. Mm-hmm. That was probably a big miss for the marketing department.
There's a lot of impact and there's a lot.
Seth almost spit take that coffee on that one.
Nice.
That was good. Yeah. There's a lot of value in that word. What the Power Platform can do. Mm-hmm. And let's think about that. It's the input, it's the analyze, and it's the automation. We'll bring that into Fabric. So we have Power Fabric, which is automation across the system. We can finally quick rename in Microsoft Fabric. Mm. I want to rename all these certain lake houses. And I forgot to add a nomenclature to that.
Ooh.
Quick and easy. Or based on the user, I want to rename everything or based on what team they're on. We can rename it. I don't have to go to each workspace to rename, quick rename. I can do that across my tenant. I can drag and drop into other data sets or lake houses. Let's say I have a lot of data in three different lake houses. Mm-hmm. Well, if I need to move data, I don't have to go into the lake house. Create a shortcut. It's drag and drop. So utilize some of the UI components in Power Apps. Quick merge and actually join lake houses together. We have right now the three lake houses in our trial demo that we're doing in our trained Let's Learn Fabric series.
Sure.
A lot of replicas there.
True.
So how would we actually join those together? I'm going to have to delete. I don't know. I can drag and drop one lake house on top of each other in the workspace to join all that data together. Now, there's obviously going to be some prompts there. It's not going to just do a complete merge right away. I'll get a pop-up to say, okay, what are you trying to do here? But there are user interfaces when I drag and drop or drag something over one. There's quick delete. There's a lot of artifacts. There's quick hiding. And since we're utilizing the Power Platform and also Microsoft's new Power Apps, new materials or components, you better believe this comes with folders. And we finally can drag and drop folders. I'm not moving.
Oh, that just bumped up the rating a little bit there. I think that's a rating bump.
There's no ellipses to say move this product. I can drag and drop this. That's been part of Microsoft forever. So the automation, we didn't even talk about the automation side of this. I can set up automation on top of simply choosing what I want to happen in a workspace. I can set up quick automations, things that I'm going to want happen in all my workspaces, or simply say when data is added to this lake house or when this pipeline runs, set this up. The best part of this is how this experience works is it doesn't happen in an individual component. This happens on the workspace view. I'm in the workspace and I simply go choose the automation that I want to occur. and choose those components. So this is not an individual artifact by artifact automation. Mm. So we're utilizing the best features of the Power Platform, which gives us Power Fabric.
You know, I do think at some level, though, you know, if you start off with Power Fabric as the initial offering, you don't have anywhere to go. Like you've just added the power to it. So yeah. I think it is, we might actually see this in the next couple of years where Fabric comes in with a rebranding at some point and we do Power Fabric, which would make sense. Yeah. I like it. It's good. Boulders is a win. That's something I think All right. that we need. I like it. Very nice gift. All right. I'll jump in here for my next guest gifts here. I think I did Tommy first. So this time I'm going to jump over to Seth. I'll do Seth first. I think I'm going to do for Seth, I'm going to give Seth the, we'll call it, I don't know what the feature name is here, but it's something around full tracking of bill back. So,
ooh.
Well, if you take mine, I'm going to be so angry.
So, like either well, you took it or you didn't.
So in a world where you have, you're an admin, you work a in lot world. In the,
in a world where you are an admin of your Power in Fabric.
So you have lots of departments that are clamoring mm-hmm. to use Power BI and they're getting good usage on things, but you need just more metering on top of it. Now, we don't want to complicate the billing side of things. We want to be able to let billing be easy and centralized, but you need to understand what models are going out there across your tenant. So using an easy tagging method, a tag that can be added to any object, any artifact, anywhere in the ecosystem, you can easily tag anything, and any CU usage for that tag comes out in a nice clean report. So tag it however you want. Don't care. The system just figures it out, and every tag, so you get a report, you know, so you can come back to your department and say, here's all the things. Every like so again, Microsoft's moving more towards this, you know, we're just doing compute usage. It's, you know, the CU that's going on across anything, whether you're accessing a lake. So you can tag a workspace, you could tag a data set, you can tag a report, anything you need to tag, you just tag it however you want. And any kind of compute that's used for that artifact, whatever that thing is, just gets shoved into a bucket, and then you have a nice bucketing system. So then you can go through and quickly tag all your stuff. And then you get a nice simple report by department, who's using what, and then you can just take your normal bill. You know, it's just a, you know, now you can easily share your P1, P2, or your F SKUs, and just it's one for everything, and you figure out exactly who's using what.
I'm not going to say that this is the best gift I've received today, but
wink, wink. So I think, yeah, it's. I think I was going for the thoughtful side of things here.
I like this gift. Thank you, Mike.
So I think that's another one there that was one that we'll, Seth will like. All right. So just given that gift, we'll see how much score I get for that one. All right. Oh, yeah, I know you're going to love this one.
All right.
So we're going to add some enhancements to Copilot, right? So it's going to be more about AI here. But Tommy, if you know Tommy, he's always prompting things like out the wazoo. There's like tons of prompts. I've learned Tommy's very good at AI and learning how to figure out how this new coding language works. So with this, I'm going to let you have AI everywhere you want it inside Power BI. So for example, you need a workspace icon. Just prompt it with a text to image. Like that would make sense to me. Like
so, what an idea.
Sounds like an easy win. Like just,
surely I haven't thought of that before, Mike.
I know, right?
Wow.
Now it's official. Now you get it as a gift. So I saw you looking in the window and it was shiny and it was sitting there on the shelf and I could see your eyes were really longing for that new thing, but you didn't have the money at the time.
There's a Christmas story around this.
I have splurged for you and I will buy you the AI, but
where else? Yeah.
It's going to be all over the place. I mean, anywhere you need to, it'll just have a little button in the bottom right-hand corner. No matter what you are, it'll be context aware of where you're at in the Power BI ecosystem. Ooh. And you can just hit it. It's just like a little, you know, magical button. You click it and it'll just appear and you could ask it questions. You could ask it to do silly tasks, like to your point, like let's rename some stuff. Let's organize this. Let's add everything into folders on the way you see it logically grouped by. Like just tell it to do things. It handles all that low weight work. Well, in addition to that, we'll let you pick your own AI. So if you don't like how Copilot runs on things, Why not try Grok? Why not try Baird? Whoa. Just bolt on.
What?
Or maybe you have your own custom AI that you've built for your organization, and you'd like to bring your own AI to your Power BI ecosystem. So
that's an extra point right there.
Train it on whatever you want.
It is.
Bring it in, and that becomes your AI that you can use across your ecosystem. So it's just
that's powerful.
Now, listen, I love the idea of choosing your own AI. That's a very common thing with a lot of AI tools. Be it Hugging Face, if you've heard of that before now, right?
There's things in there. You can pre-built models. You can just bring them in.
So you're telling me that has Hugging Face and I can put in any model?
Sure. You can hug my face whenever you want.
Yeah. Kind of thing. Siri's getting lonely. Apparently, it just prompted my...
You come in through,
like, I know Hugging Face.
Siri, I hate to tell
me.
You.
I know Hugging Face.
You're not real AI anymore. Sorry, you got a long way to go.
Siri, you can join in the. Okay, bring your own AI.
Right,
Gronk, Baird, Copilot, and HCI Siri team. AI. Yeah. Well, she's already picking up on my phone too. Yeah. Here, be quiet.
The only thing I worry about cost, because if I'm open AI,
there's no cost. It's just the same price, $10 a month.
If I'm using another AI tool, if I'm using open AI and I'm putting in my key, because that's what it's going to require.
These are technology gifts. You could when Microsoft talks features. These are features. We don't talk about cost.
If someone buys me a car and their gas mileage is terrible. Here. Yeah, you know, that's the thing. Now, let's talk about some of the prompting, because I want to make sure it's just, you know, how much we thought about this. If I'm in data flows, right, and I got this little button on the right hand side, what kind of context are we talking about here?
Whatever context you want, it'll just talk to you.
Okay, it'll just talk to me. Okay.
I don't know what the AI does. What AI does?
Yeah. Hey, Mike. To Tommy's point, I mean, with this fictitious gift that you give, didn't you price this out for him?
Oh yeah, it's.
Didn't you figure out, since we all know
Copilot right now. Yeah. Microsoft is offering Copilot. Microsoft, if you're listening, only at F64 licensing.
Bare minimum,
and that's barely Copilot. So yeah, well,
you know, this AI feature will be much more price competitive because you know the price points we're dealing with here are $10 per month per user for Pro, $20 a month per premium per user. So I'd say you get it for like 50 cents a month. That sounds good.
50 cents a month.
There you go.
God.
I mean, it's AI. It's up to Microsoft to optimize all the stuff. Like they're building hardware that's going to be super AI, and they're building brand new chips and things. They'll figure it out.
And how do I get this then in my tenant? Do I get this based
on... That's the hard part. You've got to sign up for a long trial. There's a whole bunch of code you got to add. So, I mean, the feature is amazing, but the hoops you need to get through to get it in, it's a lot of work. Just be prepared. It depends on how much 50 cents you want to pay for.
Per user. Okay.
Yeah. See, it's like a per user thing.
Yeah.
It scales.
I really like this. I love the idea. That's becoming so prevalent in a lot of products. So that's really cool.
Sweet. And I think one thing, again, this is just a generalization here, but I think there are now softwares out there that let you save your prompts. And so you can come back to them later on and rank them, and it'll even suggest prompts to you. So I do think this should be a tool that actually like can save your prompts or save existing prompts, and it will suggest better prompting for you. Because you can get quite elaborate with the prompts these days.
You know, you're right into Microsoft's Azure AI here at organizations. They're doing a lot of adoption around there.
Everyone wants to use AI.
Right. But they have custom prompts at the organization where you don't know where to start. Yeah. If I'm a date, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. And it'll even integrate with themes.powerbi.tips with the AI generated visual. So it'll actually, you can give it, you know, text to speech images, and it'll help you build wireframes with AI already, which is already a feature that exists today, just in case you didn't know. Not a fictitious thing. That's actually a real thing.
That's a real thing.
We've already built that. It's available today. You can go get it.
Mike. I love it. Well, thank you. Thank you. That was wonderful.
All right, Seth, I think it's over to you.
Yeah, we got to move, or this is the longest episode ever.
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas. So, Tommy, this is for you.
Okay.
Like mirroring, where we pull data, but different. Okay. This is called reflection. And this is your gift.
I love the name.
Where essentially, like mirroring, we have a plethora of third-party systems that we can integrate to write back data out of our Power BI reports into the source systems.
Ooh.
Easy connections, easy business logic that you can apply and make sure that you're inserting the appropriate data at the right times. Ooh. And you can plug it in to any of the components within Power BI.
So give me some scenarios here. I'm trying to think about this.
This is why the episode is taking so long. You keep asking all these clarifying questions.
I want to give you the accurate reading.
You want to give me an accurate grade? The answer is yes, Tommy, it does it.
Okay.
All the things you wanted, yes, it does those things.
No, that's good. That's good.
I killed the conversation. Any clarifying questions?
No, I think the biggest thing is where is going to be integrated the most? Like, obviously, I'm going to write back to everything, but give me a really perfect scenario here where this makes the most sense for someone introducing Fabric.
Yes.
All right. Cool.
So, you know, it's all those customer tables. It's those customer.
Pick a spot. Like, we are doing analysis on a summary. We drill through into the table, and from the table on each of these rows, you now have an indicator that says write back to the system.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now you're talking my language. Yeah. There we go.
Sorry.
That's what I was looking for.
That's the answer.
You have to read the fine print on the back of the box that Seth offered this.
I always forget that. Yeah. I never look at the build instructions.
Yeah, exactly. That would help. We should start on the swag.powerbi's tip store. We should actually turn some of these presents into actual boxes. We'll just throw some candy in them and just sell the box of, you know, we'll sell AI Alfie as a box, just one of those Windows 95 boxes.
Put a golden ticket in one, you get on the podcast. So
exactly. Oh, goodness.
Thank you, Seth. That's great.
You're welcome. Mike, your gift is SSMS.
Oh, thank you.
You talk about it all the time.
Yeah, how much I don't like to use it.
To make you feel comfortable.
I just get socks for Christmas?
I'm co-opting. I'm taking over that acronym.
Oh, okay.
And that acronym in your gift is the Semantic Service Modeling Stack.
Cool.
So since we've brought modeling to business users, we're bringing the full engineering experience to the engineers and bringing back the versions of how we can interact with our semantic models. So this is now part of Fabric and is its own next, you know, feature that you can see where we're full integration with all the T3 tools that you would expect from Tag Manager Editor. We have easy DAX grouping. So from your generation of the models and how you're bringing data in, it's going to auto recommend DAX groups of things that you're consistently using in all of your reports for measures.
Oh.
And you obviously get all the auto deployment, source control, et cetera, that lets you immediately integrate with all of your models in the Power BI service and including deployment pipelines, the whole nine yards.
Wow.
SSMS for you, Mike. And you can use it every day. And when in what your discussions, cost, right? It just reminds you of SQL.
No cost. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Yep.
It continually says, well, you know, you could do this in SQL if you were smarter. Like, there's a simple SQL statement that would do the exact same thing you're talking about here. You should just do it in SQL.
You should just do a group by.
This appears as though you're just trying to do a group by. You don't need 50 lines of code to do. Just do a group by.
You want the enhanced version where up in the right hand corner it would be like, if you want to write this in SQL, here's the script.
SMS plus, yeah.
You just need 16 nested SQL statements. It should work just fine.
Have you tried if error before?
Have you tried if error? Yes, that's another whole story. I like it. That's good. I do think you have ruined the word SSMS for me now forever moving forward. So I use it when I only have to, and this will be, I would like using this version of SSMS. That would be good. If it only had the word power in it, power SSMS.
Oh, name fail.
Yeah. It would have been.
I mean, it is really creative though to take SSMS.
You can't touch Power BI unless it has the word power in it.
See Fabric.
Yes, exactly. Awesome. All right. So let's be mindful of time here. I think we've gone through, everyone's given out at least two gifts. I think this has been a good round. maybe we go through and just kind of tally the numbers here. Okay. How do we do this one?
So do you want to do the last gift or we want to tally scores now? I can zoom through the next two.
I think we have to go. I think we, in order to not make this go on forever, I think we should just tally and move on.
Okay.
What do you think, Seth? What's your best gift left?
I think we tally and move on the first two gifts. Let's just quickly go through the last gifts real quick.
Okay.
Like no clarifying questions. Just here's your gift.
And I like that. All right. Okay. Let's do that one.
Not part of the grading scale.
Okay. Just get it done.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Or you can pick the, but never mind. All right. Let's go. Go ahead. Tommy, rip through it.
Kick us off, Tommy. What's the gift?
The gifts or the points?
We'll do the gifts.
The gifts. So
your last gift.
We'll start with Mike. Mike, we're taking theme generator, and this is actually helping with Sati. I talked to him. And we're not integrating with workspaces. We're integrating it with domains and Git. So the idea here is, how do I know what theme I need based on what team I'm on? Again, it doesn't make sense anymore with workspaces, part of the domain. How do we know what domain you're in? It's going to be part of what Git repo you're part of. That's going to be binded together. Nice. So if I'm going to Git repo, we already know Microsoft's modifying the files without us knowing. It's going to modify the theme for us, knowing what domain we're in. So I have a theme for each of my domains.
Like it.
And that's utilizing the theme generator, saying, hey, push that theme to this domain. Seth, we've talked a lot about cost. This is a little, I almost thought it was a little overlap, but it's not, because rather than having to tag everything, yours is called Show Me the Money. Anywhere I am, that new Copilot feature, well, with the Show Me the Money edition, you can actually ask Copilot about usage wherever you're at in this lake house. Say, hey, how much does this workspace cost over time? But there's also another little dollar sign in any artifact you're in, like the Copilot button, where I can say, what's the cost been for this workspace?
Interesting.
Show me all the artifacts underneath it. If I'm in the lake house, show me the usage and the cost. Shows that lake house and the lineage if you want to. So it's basically showing me anywhere I'm at, what is that cost over time in a nice visual and anything connected to it.
That feature will never exist.
I really wish I saved that for my second then.
It doesn't count now. It doesn't count now.
All right, Mike, you're up.
All right, so my gift here for Tommy is, my last one here is the Power DAX query window. So it's basically, you have now recently gotten the DAX query window today. You can go use the performance analyzer, record some DAX, and you can then shove the DAX currently into desktop and in a DAX query view. So this is the Power version of that. It does everything. Everything you would need to do with Tableau Editor, it does it. Everything you need to do with DAX Studio, it does it. So it's an enhancement on the DAX query window. So that was my, I don't know if this is the big gift or if this is just like I couldn't think of anything else. I'll say, Tommy would like a lot of DAX. So I'll just do it here. So that would be that feature. It would be a full enrichment of everything that is in the DAX query window, but it gives you all the capabilities that DAX Studio does, as well as everything you'd need to do for Tableau Editor. So kind of a straightforward one there. Seth, your gift here is you'd get a super duper API that is all around everything for capacity units. So I was going a bit more on the monitoring side of things. Again, feeling that you're an admin of a tenant, you need more details there. So you could go into the very fine grained details and there would be an API to give you about all the CU usage out of everything in Power BI. So that would be an API that is, you could dream it, if it will report on it. So that's kind of how it would work. Details about the usage of things. So that's another feature that I think you'd like. That's my gift.
That's cool. Let me get my head around this one real quick. Okay. Tommy, yours is called Auto Chef.
Okay.
What the Auto Chef does is tracks the business logic from or can compile any of the business built models in the Power BI service so that when you want to make your master dish, it will recommend a master model that you can upgrade all of those different semantic models into for a particular business unit and then reconnect back to the reports. It's the easy path for how you have all those people abusing your system to get them onto a singular model. That's so tasty. Mike,
Your presentation on these things are good. I might be jealous of that gift a little bit there.
Yours is called Dippy. Very similar to old school Clippy. What Dippy does for you, Mike, is not just, it isn't just sitting there for your questions to be answered. Dippy is an auto documenter everywhere.
Oh, so
Dippy is making recommendations for you to select in each of your areas and connected through your pipelines to ensure that everything you have is auto documented. And yes, that includes your model and reporting.
Wow.
Welcome. Welcome to the ecosystem, Dippy.
that's a gold at all.
Your product names have been on point, Seth, the whole time. I think your product names are on point.
That's a great one. All right, let's do the scores real quick. Seth, give me your scores for me and for Mike.
To be clear, for each gift, I'm adding up all the numbers there's two numbers, right?
There'd be four numbers for each person because two gifts to me, two gifts to Seth, etc. So give me the total score that you
tally here. Hang on.
We have to do like math online.
I've already got this. I've got the, you know.
All right. This will be funny if we get a three-way tie. We just got to go by. Each one of us had to buy the next person a steak dinner. That would be actually the best.
With those names, I don't know. So we'll see. But
all right, I think I've got my tallies ready.
Give me your score for me.
So I believe, Tommy, the score here is I found Pilot to be very good. I gave it an 11. Power Fabric, I gave it a 5 and a 6, which is an 11. So there's four numbers. So I'm just giving you the total. So total score for Tommy from me would be 22.
22. All right.
So what are we grading? Like the gifts given to us?
You're grading both the gift given to you and to the other person. So you're grading everyone but yourself, basically. Yeah. So there should be 4 point gifts total you're grading.
Got it.
Yeah.
So then Tommy, from Seth's side, so the gifts that I received from Seth, Jingle, I rated very highly. So I gave Jingle a 12, a 6 and a 6. And then I gave SSMS, actually, I had to take off a point for not power SSMS, so that was an 11.
So you graded each one of the criteria?
Kinda. I mean, I just gave it two.
I thought it was like rank 1 through 7. Here are the three criteria.
I have one score. Total.
Yeah, this is really good. That's how I just gave it two numbers: one for thoughtfulness and one for how much I like the gift. That's kind of what I was doing, but I could be wrong.
I gave one rank per gift.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like one score.
Because we're just doing a total at the end.
Oh, well then do I get half numbers? Half numbers here?
Oh no.
Isn't it one number per gift?
Yeah. One number per gift.
So Mike gave you two numbers for the same gift. Didn't he?
I did. Yeah, I did.
That's why I was confused.
Because there's no way you can get 22 with this with two gifts.
Yeah.
No, with four gifts, because I'm ranking.
All right, we're going to cut this section of the podcast. Right. This is horrible. Ranking is way too complicated, Tommy. No one understands it. So
what did I say? I said rank you the gift you give it to you and to
the gifts of the gifts.
Simpler,
Mike.
What else did I say?
Mike outscored Tommy. That's where I stand.
All right, with that, we'll tally things offline. We'll figure out how to make this thing work. For sure, there's no one listening left.
Why could you said it simpler?
It was complicated, Tommy. I don't understand it. You made it way too complicated. So
I look forward to the dinner, guys. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I think so. With that, thank you so much for listening today. I hope this was just a kind of a fun, lighthearted episode. This is hopefully helping you get through your walk after Christmas Day, taking a break from your family, getting outside, some fresh air, or potentially walking on that treadmill just to, you know, burn off some of those extra calories over the Christmas break. So thank you very much for listening. We appreciate all your listenership. We hope you had an enjoyable time listening to the episode and just some entertainment here. This is pure entertainment stuff. None of this is real unless you talk to Tommy and he'll start building some AIs for you. It'll probably be, it will Rob. Maybe Dippy will become a real thing. I don't know. That might
be a lot.
That could be potentially Dippy. A real item.
Recommendation.
Awesome. With that, Tommy, where else can you find the podcast?
You find us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to subscribe and leave a rating. It helps us out a ton. Do you have a question, idea, or a topic that you want us to talk about in a future episode? Head over to powerbi.tips/podcast. Leave your name and a great question. Join us live every Tuesday, Thursday, 7:30 a.m. Central, and join the conversation live on all Power BI Tips social media channels.
Excellent. Thank you all very much, and we'll see you next time.